be with us, Lord, that your word may be prominent in everything we think and say. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So, I don't know if you saw it, but PBS carried this special, Luther, the idea that changed the world. This October, we're marking the 500th anniversary of what Luther did there on that door. And so, very interesting enough, is if you got to see this video special, had a lot of the seminary professors from the seminary, from St. Louis, and a lot of the guys that I had to sit through class, or got to sit through class, just hear them speak again, and remind myself all the stuff that I had kind of forgotten from Luther's life, and at the very end, to see, very interesting how what started at a church actually changed the entire face of the planet. So very interesting. If you would, get out your bulletins and turn to your back the Holy Gospel lesson. We want to take a little look here. This whole sermon series, we've been talking about the RE. This whole month, the whole premise is the... It's just weird how that just happens to be a word that starts with RE. And so we're looking at the Reformation, how what happened kind of changed things from all time. We're going to take a look at our Holy Gospel, Matthew chapter 21. And so I want to, if you would, read with me verse 23. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" So the background here, there's a little background. The chief priest, if you would say the high court, the supreme court, the religious supreme court of Israel at that time, basically what you had to do is, if you even wanted to comment on something from the Old Testament, what you had to do is, number one, you had to memorize the entire section. You had to memorize the entire section. And then when you went about and you went teaching about that section, you would always say, okay, my professor at the seminary, he says this about this text. And so you'd almost give validity by referencing someone else. The problem is, Jesus comes up and he starts teaching. He doesn't reference anyone, and he just starts teaching on the text. And so the chief priests, they see the miracles, they hear his teaching, all of a sudden they want to know, who are you referencing? And why aren't you one of us? And so there's a problem, because there's an intersection here between the powers that be and what Jesus is trying to do. Jesus is trying to say, okay, there's an authority here that you guys aren't acknowledging, and we need to make sure that they're one and the same here. And so when we take a look at this, Jesus has been asked, what's on your resume? Because when you write out your resume, you give references. Jesus is acting as though he is the ultimate reference. And that's what they really hated, because that would take away all their power, the chief priests. And so you have a power struggle going on here. And very interesting is Jesus says, okay, if you want to know by what authority I do these things, I'm going to ask you one question. John the Baptist, was he of God, or was he simply just a man? Two problems. Kind of like in today's road. There's one extreme over here, and there's one extreme over here. You can either say that God was truly with him, and they rejected John, so that would be a problem, or he was just a man, and the crowds would turn against the chief priest because they thought he was a prophet. And so they said, well, we're gonna go down the middle and say we don't know. Were they telling the truth? Did they know? Or didn't they want to acknowledge what God was doing? And so, therefore, threaten their power base. And so, we take a look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 27. If you would, read this with me. So, they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." They knew. They saw the miracles. They heard the teachings. And yet they didn't want to acknowledge. And so the problem is, Jesus says, if you won't even acknowledge John the Baptist as one coming from God, you're not even going to acknowledge me. It doesn't matter by what authority I tell you I do these things. You're going to outright reject it because you won't even reject John. You won't even listen to him. He's not even there for you. See, there's a small problem. When all you seek is power, Jesus says, that's not why I came. That's not why I'm here. I did not come to set up a government here. I set up to set up the truth. And so he pointed back to Scripture. And that was a problem. That was a problem. Because in the Scriptures, there was something more that the chief priests were rejecting. The chief priests were rejecting who was in the text. And so when we fast forward, you look at Luther. Luther had a small problem. He had a father that was looking at monetary advancement by his son. You ever had those where you dream of retiring early? And you kind of do this little small dream of being able to live where you ever want to live, and the person who could help fund that would be your kid, right? Right? Is that not a dream that some parents have? That the kid would be so successful that you would never have to worry about anything else in your life, that they could work and make a lot of money and yet be there for you? Is that not a dream in modern day America? Same thing in Luther's life. Luther's father would hope he would be a lawyer, but the problem was there was some internal struggle within Luther. Because during Luther's time, the problem was that the church was teaching that God was so full of wrath, so full of judgment, that there were certain things you had to do in order to appease. There was something you could do. And so the problem Luther was finally going to get into was who was on his resume. Because the church was pushing for the sale of here, you can earn forgiveness by paying money. And Luther said, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If Christ can be found in his word, then why aren't we going back to his word, to the Scriptures, to the source of where Christ is? Why aren't we getting our authority from Scripture? Why are we looking at 2,000 years of recorded history in the Bible, and why is that being surpassed by one person? He says, that can't be. And so what he did was he started writing that you have to dive into the Scriptures and find the Old Testament was all about Christ and his redemption. The New Testament, it's found in Christ and his redemption. All the Scriptures you can find, there is Christ. And so when you look at Luther and his teachings, it was centered first and foremost on Scripture and what Christ has done for us. He's saying, yes, we deserve the penalty of hell and damnation. But what Christ has done is he's freed you from that. And this God we have shows over all those thousands of years that he stayed with individuals, with groups, and showed his love. In the Hebrew, the steadfast love. And so we have a recorded history of a God not full of wrath, but a God full of love. who has stayed his wrath in order to show love. And the ultimate thing he did to show his wrath, the ultimate thing he did was he sent his only son to the cross so that we could see what real wrath meant. Was that someone he loved so much would die a death like his. There we see the culmination of God's love and God's wrath in the cross. For you and for me, Christ wanted to point this out, that in the scriptures we see Christ. There is Christ. And so all this month we want to take a look, go dive even deeper. Because what Luther found in Jesus Christ in his life is something that, well, that's what we want. That's what we want. We want to see Christ first and foremost by his authority being preached, taught. They'd come alive. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us, Lord. As Lord God, we have seen what your word means. Lord God, we understand we are just like those chief priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Lord God, we want to reject who you are and what you have said. Lord God, we live in a culture that says there is no truth. And there are sometimes by our lives, Lord God, we go along with that. So we are just as guilty as anyone else. Lord God, we thank you this morning that once again you have called us to this altar to freely pronounce your love for us, Lord, even though we don't deserve it. And yet, Lord God, you allow us to come to your table to receive gifts directly from you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.